Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Believe Knicks podcast. I am your host, Stacey Patton. You can find me at StaceyPatton89. And today we are going to talk about the Knicks and Sixers, and a playoff series that has gotten very interesting and a little bit more than that. So we'll talk about all of that today. But before we start, just want to thank our sponsors. BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your summer sports this season, from MLB, golf, NBA, and NFL playoff stats. All the latest stats, news, and scores available to follow your favorite teams. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, and odds on just about every sport out there. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet online, where the game starts. And the game is about to start in a couple of hours here. Game four of the Knicks-Sixers series will start. The Knicks have a 2-1 lead. I believe the last time we talked, they had just closed out game one. It was interesting to see. You know, since we've talked last, it's been a lot of drama, to say the least. Game two, whirlwind ending, controversy, if you ask the Philadelphia 76ers, not so controversial to me. In probably one of the most memorable moments in recent memory at Madison Square Garden, the Knicks came back from 5 points down left, 5 points down with about 30 seconds left. Jalen Brunson, who really struggled all day, lost the ball in traffic. Dante DiVincenzo dives for a loose ball, gets the ball out to Brunson. Brunson takes a three that seems to hang on the rim forever. That finally falls. Knicks pulled to within two. And then on the inbounds is where amazing happens, right? Tyrese Maxey pushes off to get open. Sixers fans will deny that happened. And then he gets his jersey pulled by Jalen Brunson a little bit. Sixers fans have Zapruder'd that footage a million times. And Brunson forces a turnover along with Hart, gets an open look to Dante DiVincenzo, a wide open look. He misses. But Isaiah Hartenstein comes up with the craziest rebound I've ever seen. Gets it back out to DiVincenzo. It was weird because the first one was wide open. DiVincenzo's second look, I thought, was a lot more open. A lot less open. I mean, it was still a good look, but there was a contest. The first one didn't even have a contest. Makes it. And after that game, you know, the Sixers are whining and complaining, filed a grievance with the NBA. I think beyond, you know, Nurse felt like the officiating all game because they weren't calling a foul every time Joel Embiid touched the ball was something like that was egregious. But after all of that, the Knicks had a 2-0 lead going into Philly. you knew they were going to come out with everything you had. What you didn't know is that Joel Embiid was going to come out and play consistently dirty. Let's get this out of the way. Joel Embiid ended up having an awesome game. That is a terrific player. Or I'll say this. He had a very productive game. He is one of the best players in the NBA. I thought Nikola Jokic was more deserving of MVP last year, but totally fine to give it to Joel Embiid. He was incredible. He has been an incredible player. What I saw in that first quarter from Embiid is disgusting. It's not worthy of a player his caliber. That was Bill Laimbeer play. He goes down and intentionally tries to pull down Mitchell Robinson, who has a hurt ankle. This is something that Sixers fans are unwilling to acknowledge is just an absolutely disgusting play. He should have been tossed. That is a flagrant two. It was unnecessary, and it could have caused an injury. It was dangerous, and he was playing dangerously and recklessly. After that play, he got in DiVincenzo's face. He said, what are you going to do about it when the Knicks were not trying to fight? And obviously, the Sixers fans, being the idiots that they are hyping that up. Look how tough he is. That's not – he couldn't be – I'll get to this in a minute. But if you have to pull someone down, you're a snake. That's what – literally, a snake in the grass. After that play, the Knicks were awarded a flagrant one. But Embiid's dirty play continued. There was a play where he trying to make a swim move, throw Isaiah Hartenstein, he kneed him in the groin. There was a Draymond type play on a jump shot. He extended his leg, kicked Mitchell Robinson in the groin. It was just disgusting play. There was a missed three before the play where he pulled Mitchell Robinson down. This is what people you can appreciate. Embiid's a great player. And also acknowledge that there is disgusting behavior. The play before, he takes a three. Mitchell Robinson does not touch him. He maybe grazes his arm by the smallest amount, but it's not visible really on tape. And Embiid starts stamping his feet like a baby. This is your hero? This is the guy that, look how tough he is. Nobody messes with him. He's stamping like a baby. And then if he's so tough, OG Anunoby puts his shoulder down, doesn't even really extend. Embiid flops. Embiid falls. And then when he doesn't get a fall, he decides to injure Mitchell Robinson. And Robinson was hurt later, and it looked like it was a play where Embiid rolled onto his ankle. Now, that might not be intentional, although given what he did in less than a quarter, you'd have to say this guy was out to hurt Knicks players. But what I was really impressed with was the Knicks kept their composure. I thought that it was, they kept making timely plays. After that play where Embiid got in Dante's face, Dante threw down a hammer on Embiid that unfortunately would not shut up all the announcers and all the Philadelphia supporters. But it was a pretty spectacular dunk off a nice feed. I thought OG Anunoby got going. He was a little quiet the first two games, had some nice plays. And Jalen Brunson returned. He started out steady and then ended up finishing with 39, but it was a return to form. Was able to hit floaters, was hitting threes from deep. He had a couple of his signature just crazy and ones. And the Knicks had a lead at halftime. And things were, you're cautiously optimistic. And the most important thing to me was that I liked that the Knicks players didn't lose their composure. But the third quarter was pretty disastrous. I think a lot of people are going to say, well, it was hot shooting. Embiid, I have to say, played like an MVP and was just shooting the ball like a man possessed. He wasn't missing mid-range shots. He wasn't missing threes. I think he had three or four three-pointers in that third quarter. And the rest of the team caught fire too. And while you can talk about hot shooting and then, is it replicable? There were some things they exposed in that Knicks defense. They were able to get two to the ball consistently. I think Brunson was a step slow on defense. They were able to attack him. We'll talk about a little bit about some of the adjustments that they can make, but they just got too hot in that third quarter. And there was 43 points. I think that's really the only bad defensive quarter the Knicks have played. They've struggled to contain Maxey and Embiid, but if I talk about a bad defensive quarter, that's the only one this series. And you had guys like Campaign and Kelly Oubre hitting shots, right? Which, not what you would expect, really. The Knicks have basically given Campaign just like the Andre Roberson treatment. They haven't respected his ability to score at all, which bit them a little bit because he had a couple of threes. There's one floater where he literally just walked down the lane. And it was almost like, is anyone going to guard me? And then he didn't get a layup, but he walked into a floater that, you know, most guards are going to make 8 or 9 times out of 10 with no contest about 6 or 7 feet from the hoop. So after that, I like that the Knicks never dropped the rope. I mean, this is a team, we know what to expect. This isn't, you know, this isn't a weak-willed team like the one they're facing. So, you know, they got within 7 points, even at the end of the fourth. But Philly just wouldn't stop hitting shots. I think they made a couple of costly turnovers. There was one, I believe, in the first half. You know, I love Dante DiVincenzo. He has this habit at least once a game of just making a silly turnover because his handle's loose. And, you know, in the backcourt, he's trying to secure a rebound. He's like dribbling around, dribbles off his foot. That, you know, those are very discouraging turnovers. There was a really tough one where the Knicks were starting to come back, and this was during the early fourth quarter, Maxi non-Embiid minutes. And Bojan Bogdanović, who hurt his wrist on the previous play, he played an excellent game. He actually had a block on campaign. But this to me summarizes the difference between the two teams. Bogdanović, who's 35, is not known for his athleticism or defense. Pins Campaign's layup at the backboard, and they originally call it a goaltend. And Campaign is flexing and like, yeah, let's say it was goaltending, you're gonna flex about the fact that Bojan Bogdanović can get your layup, buddy. And it turned out it got blocked. How pathetic is that? And you flex over that. So I've really lost a lot of respect for this Miami team. Freudian slip there, right? For this Philadelphia team. I'm excited for game four. I'll put that like that. But, to recap, I think, you know, where the Knicks are right now, 2-1, a lot to be encouraged about. I think it was very important for Jalen Brunson to have a good game. I was saying before the game, I don't remember the last time he had 3 bad games in a row. I don't know if going back to his college stomping grounds helped, but he played well. Dante hit some big shots, but also had some sloppy play. I don't think anyone was particularly good on defense in that third quarter. OG had some tough shots, and he figured something out on the drive. They were overplaying him on the jumper. OG is not known as, you know, the most elusive driver, but he is capable of getting downhill in a straight line if you give him one side. So I thought he figured a couple of things out. Isaiah Hartenstein, Mitchell Robinson, the first game, Mitchell Robinson was dominant and Isaiah Hartenstein struggled. Second game was a mirror image. Third game, Isaiah Hartenstein was in foul trouble, but he is killing Philadelphia with that floater right now. And Brunson is looking for him. And that little floater, I think he's missed maybe 1 or 2 all series. And Embiid doesn't want to come out and guard it. And he's killing them with it. And, you know, when Brunson can't get the ball, they're using Hartenstein to set up offense. He's been really incredible. I thought his defense for the most part on Embiid was good, but Embiid just got really hot. And they're going to need some solutions for that Embiid Maxi pick and roll, which we can talk about in a second. Mitchell Robinson, he got hurt. We can talk. Do I blame Embiid? Yeah, he came down on that bad ankle when Embiid prevented him from coming down on the other one, and it rolled onto his ankle. And if you're going to deny that, then no, you're either a homer or, you know. And we'll talk about the national conversation. It's become disgusting, the national conversation about the Knicks. I think they should put a moratorium on Shaq comments on the Knicks. It's gross. It's a sign of something, and I'll tell you what it is. But it's in the way that it's a sign of something. It's something that should bring a smile to your face, and I'll say why. But with Mitch getting hurt, they had to go to Precious Achiuwa, who I thought acquitted himself really well, and I think that's a look you'll see more. You might see more even if Mitch is healthy, because with Precious Achiuwa in the game, this wasn't during the third quarter barrage. This was. They were able to have some success switching, right? Because they've been putting OG Anunoby on Tyrese Maxey, and they had Precious, obviously, on Embiid. So they were starting to switch Precious onto Maxey and OG onto Embiid. And I think I don't think you can start with OG on Embiid because it becomes difficult, you know, especially with Hartenstein in the game. Who's he going to guard, right? Do you put him on Tobias Harris? Well, you can't really leave him open, and then you lose Hartenstein in the paint. But you know, there's definitely some things to think about there. But with Precious on the floor, you know, the appeal of him being at the rim isn't as much, and he's capable. He's probably a little bit more capable of staying with Maxi on a switch. And OG on Embiid, I kind of like that matchup, especially since Embiid hasn't been driving. I think he took 21 free throws to get 50 points. And this is where amazing, you're all witnesses, right? 21 free throws, what an entertaining game. And he only took two or three shots at the rim, right? So call it what you want it. Good congratulations, Nick Nurse. You cheated. Game the NBA, but whatever, you know, that you got to play through it. But I do think if he's going to be mostly jump shooting,
passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. Like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on AutoTrader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro. Cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Knicks can look at OG Anunoby as an option because you don't have to worry about physicality at the rim. And if you make him, and I think they should force whoever's out there, force him to put the ball on the floor. Now, the problem is when he puts the ball on the floor, it puts you in you know, danger of fouls because he really just likes to truck through people. I think you can't just let him keep shooting those jumpers because he's feeling it right now. There'll probably be some regression, but you got to get uptight on those jumpers. And especially with his mobility, not as what it is when he's healthy, that's a chance to take. But with Precious out there, you can switch some of those screens, which are what are really dangerous because you know you have Hartenstein in the game, and OG has been falling behind when he's been when they've played drop. And if he can't contest, Hartenstein is really in a bad situation because if Embiid pops, he is responsible for that. He has to help on a Maxi drive, and Maxi is extremely quick. And if OG can't get over a screen, then he also has to be responsible to try to help on a pull up. So those kind of things are complicating are interesting. So going to game four, not a whole lot of adjustments I'd make. Ultimately, the Sixers got really hot. We'll see if they spam the same action. Actually, it's not a writer I usually tell people to read when it comes to the Knicks, but I thought Michael Pina actually had a really good article about the third quarter and, you know, in you know, the kind of actions that the Sixers were able to run. One thing he, you know, he highlighted the fact that they are, you know, he didn't, I mean, if, of course, like the national media wants to just consistently poke holes in the idea that Jalen Brunson's a real star. And, you know, in some ways it's a pretty biased article, but, you know, getting away from the kind of jabs he takes, you know, will always take at the Knicks. You know, I think that, you know, they were, you know, he talks a lot about, you know, the stagger screens they're running, the ways they put Brunson in actions. And he just had a, he just had a tough third quarter. And, you know, they were forcing Brunson to switch on to Maxey. I think one thing you could do is you know, put, you know, I think he mentions potentially putting Brunson on a guy like Tobias Harris. You know, I think there's options there. I think the biggest thing though is I would not have OG Anunoby on Tyrese Maxey. You know, I get why Tibbs is doing it. I'm not saying it's some crazy thought. But, you know, against most, against 99% of players, right? OG is your best one-on-one defender on the team. I think even against Joel Embiid, he might be in this version at least. You know, but I think in this series, asking OG to chase around a quick guard and Maxey, that's not really his forte. He's great against big wings. He's got against quick wings. He's got great against a lot of quick guards. Maxey's one of the quickest in the NBA and is a great pull up. And you know, as great as OG is slithering around screens, this is probably like the limit of that. And you have other good point of attack defenders. I'd probably put Hart on Lowry to start, or not Lowry, Hart on. Hard on Maxey to start. And then I would probably, you know, I'd probably hide, you know, and you're fine putting Brunson on Lowry. I'm fine putting Brunson on a guy like Kelly Oubre, to be honest. Pina made it sound like that's some disaster. But if you put OG in a situation where he can help, you know, if he's on Tobias Harris or if he's on Oubre, I think that if the Sixers are going to get two to the ball a lot and the Knicks are going to be in rotation, you'd rather have your best help defender be doing the rotating, right? And he has the ability to muck up everything they want to do on offense. And I think that, you know, putting him in those situations are going to be more meaningful. You know, I think that I would definitely try OG off the ball more. I think one thing that a lot of people mentioned is continuing to switch those OG precious pick and rolls, especially if Mitchell Robinson can't play, which he's listed as questionable. The report isn't out yet. I think Dante said that it's likely that Mitch will give it a go. I think it's either way, I think even if Mitch can give it a go, especially with the threat of foul trouble, Precious is going to get some minutes, right? And I think one thing that worked is switching. The other thing that worked is Embiid's mobility is limited and Precious is running the floor. He is hustling. I thought he played really well in a tough spot that I probably wouldn't have trusted him in before the series. I think it's going to be interesting to see those adjustments. I think on offense, they had probably their best game of the series. I thought Embiid's decision-making was better. They had some silly turnovers they needed to clean up, but they were, you know, I think the Sixers were keeping them, did a better job of keeping them off the glass. I think Maxey said they won the rebounding battle. The Knicks actually had more offensive rebounds than the Sixers did. But since the Sixers missed fewer shots, total rebounds probably favored the Sixers. But, you know, I think on offense, they, you know, attack and beat and pick and roll. They've done that. The Sixers have countered by pre-switching. The Knicks have countered with shooting, with popping other guys open besides Josh Hart. And Josh Hart, I have to say, for stretches of game three, I actually thought he was the best player on the floor. He's been knocking down his threes. He's been aggressive attacking and beat at the rim. I think that's something that everyone has done in ways that maybe they wouldn't if he was fully healthy. But Embiid has, but Hart has consistently gone at Embiid at the rim, putting his body into Embiid's chest. I think that's a smart move because Embiid isn't jumping to contest right now. And if it's just a big body there, he's still a big body. I mean, Hart missed a couple that you'd like him to make, but overall he's been playing terrific. Dante's had a couple of aggressive takes. OG's had a couple of aggressive takes. I think probably if they can get some more stops and force some turnovers, get in transition more, that would help even more. But you know, they didn't have the greatest shooting day in game three. They still put up 116 points. So, you know, and, you know, people love to talk about attacking Brunson. There's guys the Knicks can attack too. And they're starting to do that. They're attacking Maxey. They're attacking, you know, Hield, Campaign. There are some weak defenders on Philadelphia. So what I expect from, I'm very curious to see how the officiating gets handled. If Embiid continues to pull this crap, will they continue to aid and abet it? I think a lot of Knicks fans are genuinely and rightfully concerned that this could lead to more injuries. You know, this is a player who's being told that he's above the law and acting accordingly. So there's you know, that's, you know, we'll have to see what happens. But I did want to mention this. During that first quarter, I was curious if the Sixers would melt down because you have Embiid crying and screaming and whining and throwing tantrums like a baby. That's basically all that Oubre and Lowry and do as well. Campaign whooping like a, you know, whooping over the most basic shit. Oubre does that too. I think there's a reason this team has never made the Western Conference Finals. Or sorry, because they don't play in the Western Conference. Eastern Conference Finals, despite having Embiid and earlier Ben Simmons. I don't see them as a mentally tough team. You know, they got hot from three. They had some plans to attack the Knicks. Kudos. But the Knicks kept their composure. And after the game, all of the comments the Sixers had, the Sixers kept taking, oh, well, the Knicks were physical, so we were physical too. And a lot of people seem to get it, and the national media seems to get it. It's like, oh, now the Knicks are complaining. And they fundamentally, that's what makes you soft, right? That is, to me, the definition of soft, where you don't know the difference between physical play, being able to play strong, and playing dirty, right? I can't play strong. I don't have confidence in myself to actually do the fundamental things. Like, I don't know Joel Embiid. Box out Isaiah Hartenstein in the end of game three instead of bitching and whining about how it was a disaster, right? Or how the officiating was a disaster, which he actually said, right? You know, instead, maybe actually put a body on someone. Maybe actually set a screen instead of throwing hip checks. Maybe actually learn the fundamentals of the game. They think that that's playing dirty. So they think that's the same thing as pulling a guy down. That to me is the most mentally soft thing imaginable. And I do not think it bodes well for Philadelphia in this series, or if they have to, or if they go forward, or as a franchise. I mean, this has been something. Nick Nurse, after the game, they asked him if he saw that play. All he had to say was, yeah, that's unfortunate. I have to review it. He just said, I didn't see it. I didn't look at it. I didn't care to look at it. That tells you it comes from the top. This is a team that that gets frustrated, that has a victim complex, and thinks and has a sense of entitlement. And it's the exact opposite of the Knicks, who continued to fight. You know, the Knicks did say that the play was on Mitchell Robinson was dirty. You know, the Sixers might say that's whining, but I don't think the Knicks filed a grievance. The Knicks could have pushed very hard to get Embiid suspended. They were fully within their rights. They didn't do that because that isn't what this team does. This team is going to keep fighting. They contested the game after the fact with the Rockets, but you know, they're going to complain and whine. They're not going to do what Embiid does. They're not going to do what Nick Nurse does. You know, especially with how, well, I will say, and Tibbs has been much more vocal about the officiating. You can't blame him at this point. I actually thought game three wasn't that poorly officiated, but it's fair for him to say, you know, Embiid's at the line 21 times. They're going to call that marginal contact, right? He was alluding to a play where, I think it was the Lakers game where someone got hit in the face and they called it marginal contact. So, you know, there is reason for everyone to be frustrated. I, you know, if you want to say that Tibbs is doing the same thing, fine. And if you want to say that Josh Hart and I Hart, they also complained to the officials a lot. Fine. It was every play from the Sixers. And, you know, after the after a game like game two, I don't think you would have had the Knicks talking the way that Embiid was. You would have had the way, I mean, the only person who made respectable comments after game three was Maxey, who was the guy at the center of it all. And he said, I need to be better. Those are the kinds of things you hear from the Knicks. The kinds of things you see from the Sixers are the kind of shenanigans we saw from Embiid. And what gives me confidence is that this is a mentally tougher team. And the Knicks are not built like that. They're not built to whine and melt down and lose their shit in the middle of a game. And the other thing I'll say is, you know, I do want to talk about Tibbs here. I think he's coached a good series. I'm interested to see that OG Max, you know, just get OG off Maxey and then let him help a little bit more, see how that works out. And try Hart. Hart, I think, might be a little bit more equipped for that matchup. You know, we've seen him have some success against, high level guards like Jamal Murray. But what I wanted to talk about here is that, you know, there was this poll again that came out where Tibbs is the coach that players least want to play for. And there was an interview with Emmanuel Quickley with I believe it was Michelle Beadle, and I forgot the other gentleman that was on the show. But she asked him, she asked him about that. First, she asked him, was the play on Mitch dirty by Embiid? And he said, I don't want to get fined. But I think if it wasn't Embiid, it would have been a different call, or might have been a different call, which, yeah, thanks, IQ, no shit. But Quickley also was asked about Tibbs, and he's generally a pretty honest guy, right? So he said that, you know, the practices are tough. A lot of guys don't like to practice, and we know Quickley's not like that. He said, you know, I mean, Quickley, we've seen his work ethic be unparalleled, even on the Knicks. But he's talking about, you know, the practices are tough, and even morning shoot-arounds, he'll make you repeat things many times as if it's a practice, and guys get annoyed. But he said you're going to be prepared, and the Knicks. The reality is, I don't think there's anyone on the team who doesn't like playing for Tibbs. I think, you know, most of the guys, even Obi left. Obi could have been frustrated. He could have said that I'm not getting enough minutes. I'm sure him, Quickley, other guys were frustrated. But in terms of the Tibbs stuff, I don't think there's anyone who has an issue with it that plays for him, because they find the kind of guys that are willing to practice, that care more about the results, and the results are good, care more about being prepared than, you know, their egos. Like, oh, I'm a professional player. Why are you telling me to try this bounce pass again, right? Or practice landing on 2 feet or whatever. You attract those kind of guys. And the Sixers have clearly chosen the kind of guys they want, the kind of guys that stamp around and whine and complain and make dirty plays instead of learning how to play physically the right way. So I'm fascinated to see game four. I think the hate and the intensity on both sides have been ratcheted up. Can the Sixers continue to shoot hot? Can Embiid continue to shoot hot? Can the Knicks make some defensive adjustments like they have all season? They haven't really been torched like that by a team in a while. You know, the Bulls scored a lot of points, but that was really the offensive glass. You know, the Knicks haven't been in a position to give up that many open looks, really, besides like playing like Boston and maybe that one game against Luka where they were really shorthanded. You know, it hasn't happened very often. I'm curious to see Tibbs' adjustments. Curious to see, you know, I criticized Nurse a lot for his attitude, but I think he's been really good this series as well. And I think it's been an interesting chess match between the two, and it's a fun series. And the last thing I'll say is, there's two things I'll say is, I was talking about the national media before, but in a similar vein, you know, when you start to, it's like that saying, right? First they ignore you, then they laugh at you, then they fight you, then you win. And we're in that fighting stage. It used to be that they ignored us, then they would laugh. You know, Shaq and Charles Barkley wouldn't know the names of any players. You know, Stephen A. Smith would clown out for them and say, not even know how to say Hartenstein's name. It's some guy named Hartenstein. If you watch three Knicks games, he's not some good. He's one, he's Hartenstein. Two, he is... I mean, he's unseated. I mean, Mitch is not healthy completely, but even then, most people at full strength at this point would take Hartenstein, which is not a knock on Mitch. Both are top 10 centers. But those are the last, right? And then now they are trying to scream even louder. No, the Knicks aren't good, right? You had Shaq saying they'd get swept by the Pacers or the Magic, whatever. You'd Barkley parroting the same garbage. Now they're getting desperate and they're saying it even louder. And the teams they face, when they used to say, oh, the Knicks are good, pat them on the head, now you see them making dirty plays. So it's not fun to watch in that sense. But it's also a sign that the Knicks are a legitimate threat to these teams and to the narratives of these national writers. That's why they feel the need to scream even louder, because they see their grip on the narrative being challenged by reality. So enjoy these playoffs. This is the most fun team, win or lose, that we've seen in a long time. There's something you got to love about how much they fight, how skilled they are. Having a leader like Brunson, who's just awesome, great to watch, everything that Embiid isn't in terms of a leader, in terms of someone overcoming adversity. Embiid's had adversity in his life, but in the NBA, and in the NBA, he's had injuries. So, you know, credit him with all of that. But in terms of what Brunson was given from a physical perspective, he's maximized that out. And you know, does he complain to the refs just like Embiid? Yeah. Does he sell contact? Sure. But I know who do I enjoy rooting for more? It's not even close. It's Brunson, way better leader. And I think ultimately he's going to be the best playoff player in the series, and no one will admit it. I think he's going to be him, and the mental toughness of this Knicks team is going to be the reason why they prevail. And I'm all here for it. So with that, we can wrap up. Thanks for joining and listening. And you know, hope you enjoy game four, and let's get this W. So thanks again for listening to the Believe Knicks pod. Signing off, I'm Stacey Patton. Have a good one.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.